You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national. We got all of the issues blanketing the entire northern half of our state. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, hey, listen, I'm pleased to bring somebody back on the show who's been with us before. Congressman Barry Moore currently represents part of Alabama's congressional delegation from the 2nd Congressional District of Alabama. He hails from the Wiregrass area down there in the southern part of our state. He and I first met each other. We were both elected at the same time to the Alabama State Legislature, and I was proud to serve with him there. He is currently serving I think his second or third term right now, has made a name for himself as probably the more conservative member of Alabama's delegation. So without further ado, let me just bring on Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Phil. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you making some time for Right Side Radio today. Listen, let me ask you, you've been kind of on the ball lately. I've seen several press releases with your name on them. But then you also just had a press conference yesterday, and I'm doing a whole section on the southern border as part of today's show. Talk to me about Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and where we're headed on that.
Yeah, so we are hoping to impeach him. We will have the majority come January 3rd, and Jim Jordan is going to be chair of judiciary as it looks right now. And Jim and I have become friends, and he's asked me to serve on that committee with him, and one of the things we think we need to do is impeach Mayorkas. He's just simply not doing the job. We had a record number of crossings, or I guess if you call them interactions or contacts in October, over 230,000 people in the month of October. That's the most in an October since DHS has been tracking those numbers. And so he's just not doing his job. And so it's time. If the president won't fire him, we're going to impeach him.
Well, I've been calling for his impeachment for a while, and I'll be honest with you, it's the most abject failure of all the failures in the Biden administration right now is the southern border, and that being said, it's just like it would have been in the state legislature. You and I were there when we almost had to go through the impeachment process of Governor Bentley, and my recollection was things start in the House and then get referred to the Senate. So, do you think you can get it through the House, obviously, but then get it through a Senate that is not as it's like split 50-50?
You know, I sure hope so. I think the Senate, if he just step back and take his testimony in front of the committee where he said the border is secure under oath, he obviously was not being honest with us on the committee, and that's an impeachable offense, we think, and we believe that the Senate should follow our lead on this. And if nothing else, if you just look at the numbers, like we said, it's over 5 million people in the last, 24 months. And so, it's just, he is failing the American people. He is failing. And when you're the head of the Department of Homeland Security, that's your wheelhouse. And with the homeland is not secure right now.
Well, has he responded to your press conference? Has he said anything at all yet? Because one of the things that I've, we've both seen is when you have an election, sometimes you wind up seeing a change in positions. People retire. It's a high burnout rate in D.C. Is he going to leave of his own accord? Or has he said anything about your press conference?
Not that I've been tracking. We did the press conference. Andy Biggs, is a former chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. We did a press conference, and Andy's Arizona, so he sees the border crisis. We had a lot of members from Texas. And so, I don't know if he's responded yet or not. He may well ride off into the sunset, but for the nation's national security and certainly for the homeland, the drugs, the trafficking we're seeing, it's best for our country for him to go away. However he chooses to do that, that's up to him.
Yeah, he resigns of his own accord. We'll still take it, right?
We'll take it.
Well, all right, let me move on to something else. Yesterday we spent some time on the show. I break the show down every day into what I call the triple dipper, three major storylines, and one of them yesterday was on the military vaccine mandates and what it's done to our military, how it's the last bastion of the misguided attempt to mandate these vaccines across the board. Nobody else in society is having to do it anymore for the most part, and yet our military is still stuck with it. My recollection was you were supportive Even though I know the Freedom Caucus, and you are affiliated with the Freedom Caucus, if I'm not mistaken, but I saw Chip Roy had some pretty stiff comments about the NDAA the other day. But nonetheless, spending aside, it also had that provision about removing the vaccine mandate, which I recall you being supportive of. Am I correct?
That's right, Phil. You know, I have Fort Rucker and Maxwell Gunner, and actually the only veteran from the Alabama delegation in Congress. And so that having family members serve and seeing the impact it has on Fort Rucker, military readiness, we're not hitting our recruiting goals, and then you're forcing people out because they won't get a vaccine. That just, to me, the numbers are not adding up for national security purposes, and we're losing a lot of the patriots. I mean, the people who didn't want to get the vaccine, didn't trust the process, didn't trust the government, and here they were walking away from careers. So the fact that the mandate is not there going forward is a great thing. Now, I think we're going to try to continue to push to make sure we reinstate people with back pay. That would be what I would like to see happen. But that was a win because remember when I'm a freshman, so I've been here 2 years. One of the toughest no votes I had to take early on was not to vote for the NDAA because there is some good stuff in that occasionally, and
right.
It impacts the defense of the nation, and there's spending in the districts where you got Fort Rucker and Maxwell Gunner. So you hate to be seen as not supporting the military or pay raises for your soldiers. But at the same time, when the vaccine mandate was in there, I just refused to support it. I told him I would not support it. I sent a letter to the president to that effect. I'm not going to vote for it if there's a vaccine mandate in it. So the fact that that's peeled out, that's a step in the right direction. I will call that a win, and certainly it's a win if you're looking to stay in the military. But we would like to see people reinstated as well.
Well, absolutely. In fact, one of your press releases said that I think it was like around December 6th, so like what, 7-8 days ago, that you were one of those who had called upon Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin to provide some clarity about what he's going to do about the military vaccine mandate and to give us insight as to what he's going to do for the National Guard. You and I were both National Guardsmen. Our Alabama National Guard's getting raked over the coals. At one point, I saw we were looking at losing upwards of 11,000 members of our Air and Army National Guard. What are they saying about this, and how are they recognizing this vaccine in comparison to readiness and recruiting and retention?
You know, there seems to be a disconnect with Secretary Austin. I don't quite understand how you don't see that. I mean, if we're not hitting the goals, we're not getting the recruiting numbers we need to be hitting as far as getting people to come on. And part of that is the woke leadership. I mean, just if you look at some of the things that the Joint Chiefs doing and SecDef and all that requiring for soldiers, there's just not a lot of young soldiers right now saying, yeah, I want to sign up for this. But then when you throw the vaccine mandate in there, it just seems to – it is certainly a deterrent. And so – hopefully they will start responding to the letters we send, and we'll see some movement so that they'll wake up and realize. And I think there's no way they don't see it, Phil. I don't know why they don't go ahead and reverse some of the policies. There's no way you don't see a correlation between being woke, vaccine mandates, and having trouble hitting your recruiting numbers. I see it. Most of America sees it. And we nearly lost, if I'm not mistaken, about 10% of the Navy SEALs are looking at getting out because of the vaccine mandate. And
yeah.
Those are fear kind of guys, you know.
No, absolutely. And it's amazing to watch. And the idea that they can say it doesn't affect readiness is a complete disregard for truth. But all right, well, let me ask you this before we run out of time. We got about 3 minutes left. Right now, one of the things we're seeing is a continuing resolution, which for our listeners' benefit is when they can't get a budget passed, they pass a continuing resolution to allow spending to continue like it has been for a period of time. That being said, we're looking at a massive $1.7 trillion omnibus funding bill that some folks are pretty frustrated with the idea that McConnell and even our own Richard Shelby have been sort of joining with the Democrats to force in this lame duck spending omnibus bill. You had some thoughts on that. If I'm not mistaken, you're opposed to that during the lame duck session. Is that right?
Yeah, Phil. What a disastrous deal the Senate is cutting right now with the Democrats. And these are Republican senators cutting the deal. The problem with it is we're out doing our town halls, and I'm telling folks, hey, we as the House, when we get the majority, will have the purse strings. We can make a difference. We can slow inflation. We can make it where you can afford gas. We can do some things to cut back on runaway government printing of money. And so I'm out on the town hall talking about, well, it's going to change when we get the majority in January once the Republicans take over the purse strings. And then you got the Senate cutting a deal with Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi. As we just fired Nancy a few months in November, we fired her. She's no longer going to be Speaker. And McConnell and them are talking about cutting a deal that's going to fund the government through the end of 2023. Well, that puts us into the next election cycle. And so we don't have time to right the ship as Republicans because they're tying our hands in the Senate with Pelosi on our way out. If they pass this thing, this omnibus, $1.7 trillion, then the effect that we could have on policy and the economy itself to impact the next election cycle could be null and void courtesy of the Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. Senate.
Wow. Well, I know the Freedom Caucus is opposed to this in general. I've also seen some other members, and I'll be honest with you, the sentiment that I'm seeing just on social media is stop the madness. I mean, this is giving them a lame duck win like this is absolutely not what we need to be doing, knowing full well we're walking into a majority.
It's a short-term win, Phil, for the Dems, and a long-term loss for the American people if we do this.
I totally agree. Well, Congressman, listen, let me ask you one last question, if you don't mind. I know that you are friends with the folks like Jim Jordan, who has been supportive of Kevin McCarthy, but I also know that Andy Biggs is also someone who you're, you know, working with a lot, and he's running against McCarthy. How do you see it working out? Who's going to be the next Speaker of the House, as far as you can tell?
Well, you know, I got friends on both sides, and that happens a lot when you're just talking about leadership elections. But right now, we're at a point where we're negotiating with McCarthy, and I think that's the thing. Just trying to get some rule changes so the 780,000 people I have, I represent, have a say in amendments. We have a say in policy rather than leaving some of the old rules in place that Nancy had. I think Kevin's moving in our direction. So this is a time for negotiations. We'll see what happens come January the 3rd. Hopefully he'll come to the table with more concessions on the rules to give us more individual power for amendments in the process. And then hopefully Kevin McCarthy can come to some agreement so we can make sure we have a Republican speaker and do the things we need to do for the American people.
All right. Well, I like the sound of it because I agree. I was talking to Andy Roth from the State Freedom Caucus Network the other day on the show, and he made that very point. He said it's not always about who's in charge. It's about the rules that they promote. And if we can change the rules, we can get a lot more done. So, all right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you. Thanks for your position and your stances on these, and we look forward to having you back on the show again in the future, okay?
Hey, thank you, Bill. Appreciate the time. Y'all keep sending your prayers for wisdom and courage.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care. Well, that's a good one, folks. You hear me talk about the House Freedom Caucus, and that's a member right there from Alabama, the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Barry Moore. Keep your eyes on him. I look forward to seeing what he can do in the years to come. And also know this, because he dares to be in the Freedom Caucus and take some hard positions and even vote against the NDAA in the past because it had a vaccine mandate in it, it also puts a target on his back. Just be aware. And be alert and be prayerful. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'm moving to number two of the Triple Dipper. We're going to talk about that thing that we see at the grocery store, the gas pump, and everywhere else right now, Bidenflation. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.